Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly on KFAN, presented by Devonnie's. Your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Fantasy Football Weekly is also brought to you by Grain Belt Premium, No Name Butcher Quality Meats, Honda, Town Hall Family, and by the Park Tavern.
Now,
along with Fanball and League Safe's Matt Harrison and Brian Johnson, here's Paul Charchian.
It is a playoff edition of Fantasy Football Weekly on the Fan. Paul Charchian, Brian Harrison.
Yep.
Brian Harrison.
Sure.
Let's start over.
It was only a matter of time. Matt Harrison, Brian Johnson. If you had a love child, there you go. Brian Harrison.
Can we do that?
I think we have to explain.
Well, you've tried plenty of times. I know that. Practice hasn't worked out, but
it does make perfect.
It does make in time.
Very bromantic.
In time, it'll all come together. Mm-hmm. Reminder: 2 Saturday games for fantasy football players. You'll want to be sure to set your lineup right now. Don't leave this thing to chance later. Bears, Lions, Chargers, Chiefs. You can hear it right here on the Fan. Bears, Lions, 4:00. Chargers, Chiefs, 7:30. So you can hear those games and just don't mess this up. Just go set a lineup right now that you feel pretty good about.
And double reminder, you can go set a lineup on Fanball for a Saturday-only slate.
Ooh. We do have a Saturday-only slate, so it'd be players just in the... It's all Bears, Lions, Chargers, Chiefs. That's it.
Lots of relevant players going, though. I think it's a fun little slate today.
So it isn't. It's not a bad slate. We'll break those games down along with all the other games between now and the top of the hour. We'll have the 5 hot questions and Take a Chance on Me. And, of course, lightning round. We already have full phone lines. We'll try to get to your calls as much as we can. Just note that we've got a heavy load of games to get to. No bye weeks. And that begins with the Jets taking on the Saints, Matt. And this is a Saints home game, and I think there are a lot of Drew Brees owners that are a little bit nervous. But let's start on the Saints side of the ball. I don't like anybody in this game.
You mean the Jets side of the ball?
Sorry, I meant the Jets. Sorry, thank you. The Jets side of the ball, I don't like anybody.
I do like one person.
Who do you like?
Robbie Anderson.
All right.
I'm giving him a B. Bryce Petty, who's starting at quarterback this week.
Yeah, well,
he was pretty focused on Robbie Anderson a lot this preseason. Last year, Bryce Petty played in 4 games where he had a high volume of passes. In those games...
Last year.
Right,
yes.
Anderson topped 60 yards in all 4 of those games, and he scored in 2 of them. So he's kind of Bryce Petty's guy. Hmm. He's going to lock into Robbie Anderson. I think he's going to throw him the ball a lot. Everybody else is on the bench, though. Petty, Curse, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Matt Forte in the running game, too. Forte didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday with a knee injury. That leaves Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire if he doesn't go, and it was a true time split when Forte missed Week 10. McGuire actually outsnapped Powell 52-48%. And out-touched him 12-11. That's almost 50-50. So we don't want any part of that in a not good timeshare.
No, we don't.
Let's go to the other side. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Kamara cleared the concussion protocol. I gave both B grades this week. If Kamara didn't torpedo your season last week, kudos to you for having
a
pretty
survivor,
great team.
Baby.
Wow.
Yes.
The Jets, however, are facing an average of 28.5 rushing attempts per game. That's 8th most in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But they've only allowed one running back to top 90 rushing yards all year. That was LeSean McCoy back in Week 1. Although pass-catching backs have had their way with the Jets.
Right.
Leonard Fournette had 4-59 and a touch through the air. Duke Johnson had 3-63 and a touchdown. So I like Kamara a little bit more than Ingram. Still, the Saints are facing Bryce Petty this week, too. And so they should probably play ball control play.
We need some Destiny's Child for the Kamara survivors out there.
Yeah.
Tony. He's watching golf. Never mind. All right. Carry on, Matt.
Wait a minute.
Drew Brees, I'm giving an A grade to, though. Why, you ask? I don't know. Maybe because...
Yeah, Kamara, after everything you just said, you give Kamara B.
Yeah, but
now you're Brees giving
Brees
an A.
Brees is going to pass Kamara the ball.
Okay.
So anyway,
doesn't Kamara get those points, too?
Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, Jay Cutler, and Matt Moore have each thrown for multiple touchdown passes against the Jets in the last 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard me mention Jay Cutler and Matt Moore?
Yes.
That was the same game where they each threw 2 touchdown passes. Brees has had 290 yards or multiple scores in 10 of 13 games this season. He's still a solid A.
Right.
Michael Thomas is solid A. In their last 5 games, 6 different wide receivers have topped 80 yards or scored against the Jets. And lastly, Ted Ginn is a C. This has a long lead up to it.
It's worth the wait, though.
It is.
Once Beyonce drops. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ted Ginn's a C. The Jets have allowed 48 completions this year of 20-plus yards. That's fourth most in the league. That's Ted Ginn's game. Since the week five bye, Ginn only trails Thomas and Kamara in targets on the Saints. I'll give him a C.
I got a Ginn feeling. I can't rationalize it. I tried to when I ranked him. I'm like, I'm going to try to find some way to put it into data.
You got a gunch?
I got a gunch. A Ginn hunch.
A gut feeling and a hunch at the same time.
I like it. We'll gunch. Go with that. Yes. That was the end of your matchup right there.
You ended
it on a gunch. Chargers and Chiefs are the late game today. That game starts at 7:30. You can hear it on the Fan. Chargers offense red hot taking on the Chiefs. Chiefs at home, though, have been a much better defense. What do you think of in this matchup?
I believe that's your matchup.
That is my matchup. Yeah.
What do you think in this matchup?
What do I think in this matchup?
Sir?
Wow. Good heavens. Why? See, normally...
It's 7 a.m., right?
We have a long storied tradition of me going third. Whoever did the matchups did not, you know, ever put these in order. I'm always third guy in. Always. And it's because I do a lot of the talking at the beginning of the show to set it up. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to talk. And then, you know, get your voices out there.
You're a man of the people.
I am.
Well,
that's why we do it that way.
Packers and Panthers right now, if you want me to. I'm prepared for that. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, no, let's do it. Packers taking on the Panthers. This is the storyline here writes itself. It's Aaron Rodgers. Almost everybody I've talked to that's got Aaron Rodgers is starting him this week. Let's hear how you break it down.
Yeah, I'm giving Rodgers an AA for Aaron because he was widely available a few weeks ago. We said Adam. There are a lot of interesting start-sit questions out there, but there's only a couple quarterbacks I would start over him. I think he's in line for a good start. I mean, the last month, Jay Cutler, Josh McCown, and Case Keenum have thrown for multiple touchdowns against the Panthers, so why not Aaron Rodgers, who is supposedly healthy? So I'm rolling him out there only unless I'm a Rivers owner or maybe Roethlisberger. We can talk more about that later. Over to his receivers, Davante Adams. Just going to give him a B here. Mm-hmm. Might be a bad thing that Rodgers is returning because he sure clicked with Brett Hundley, but doesn't really matter for Adams. He's been money all year. And number one receivers have been money against Carolina the last month. Julio Jones topped 100 yards. Robbie Anderson had 146 and two. Mike Thomas had 70 yards and a touchdown. Last week, even Stephon Diggs caught six passes for the first time since week three. I kid Stephon, you are a true baller. You're the man. Over to Jordy Nelson. He's up to B level. Not benchable anymore, in my mind. Five games with Rodgers this year, Jordy's averaging five catches, 58 yards, and 1.2 touchdowns. In the seven games without, he was averaging three catches, 22 yards, and zero touchdowns. But with Rodgers back, you know Jordy's been chirping in his ear. He's a squeaky wheel. I see a big game for Jordy here. Not so much for Randall Cobb, though. He's on the bench. Like Jordy, Cobb's numbers are better with Rodgers, but Cobb has not topped 60 yards since week one, so I cannot trust him in the semifinals, so he's on the bench. But Jamal Williams, I'm going to give him a B for Belkow. He's getting that kind of usage. It's a tough matchup on the ground. Carolina ranks fourth against the run, but opposing running backs have had recent success through the air. The Panthers allowed 19 catches to running backs over their last two games. Jamal caught the ball seven times last week. Unfortunately, not nine times.
Oh, wait. No. Where's that button? Come on, Charles. Seven times.
Nine times.
But with 19 catches allowed over the last 2 weeks to running backs, maybe nine times for Jamal Williams this week. But a three down back looking really good. Over to the Panthers side. I will give Cam Newton an A as well. Over the last 5 weeks, Green Bay has allowed the fourth most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns. So you got to roll Cam out there.
But I got Cam one spot higher than Aaron.
Do you? I was about to ask, would you play Cam or A-Rod if you owned both?
I'd play Cam.
Oof, I might lean A-Rod, but it's a tough call.
I don't think Aaron's going to let himself hopefully run that much, right? And Newton's averaging 61 rushing yards a game since week four. So I think that's the deciding factor for me. Well, that and the Packers secondary is awful.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Let's just put it that way, probably. Devin Funchess can give him an A, even though he's on the injury report with the shoulder injury. Shouldn't be a big deal. He has 80-plus yards and or at least one touchdown in five straight games. Great matchup for him against injury-riddled Packers secondary, so he's an easy start. I'm not touching any of the other wide receivers for the Panthers, though, and I don't even really want to go with Greg Olsen. Has just one catch since returning in Week 12. Was limping all over the place last week. It sure looked like his season was over again, did it not? If you were watching that game.
It did.
Even he came back in, I was in shocked. But I'm putting him on the bench. Green Bay has allowed just three touchdowns to tight ends No, they have allowed three touchdowns to tight ends in the last three games, but before that, they surrendered zero touchdowns to the position. So, and an opposing tight end hasn't topped 40 yards since week six against the Packers. So I got Olsen on the bench. That foot worries me too much.
Agreed.
Christian McCaffrey not on the bench, giving him a
beat. I like him this week.
Oh, yeah. Leads all running backs in receptions and is second in receiving yards. Green Bay has allowed the most receptions and receiving yards of running backs over the last 5 weeks.
How can Christian McCaffrey not get an A in that sense? It's the perfect matchup for him.
It is, but because Jonathan Stewart's going to score three touchdowns.
Oh, dang it.
No, he's not, but I got a C for Jonathan Stewart. In the last 4 weeks, he has two 100-yard games and has scored five touchdowns.
Who'd have guessed that he would be powering teams to the playoffs, yep. But Jonathan Stewart is right now. He's been great.
Pretty nuts. Green Bay is actually decent against the run, ranked seventh by Football Outsiders DVOA, so I just got a C on Stewart, but he is startable.
That was that's a tricky matchup. I would give Jordy a C. I have a little more. I just feel like I want to get one.
You want to wait and see.
I want to wait and see. I just want to have a little more data points on this.
I stand by my B.
I understand. I think there's a good chance you're going to be right. It'd be fascinating to see if Aaron Rodgers has a good game as expected, the Vikings defense has a good game as expected, then what do you do with Aaron next week? That'll be our last show of the year, Fantasy Football Weekly. We'll see if we can get that one right. Final matchup of this segment is the Chargers taking on the Chiefs. I have reason to believe that I've got that matchup, not Brian. Yes.
That's happening today,
and it's happening at 7:30 tonight on The Fan. Chiefs secondary looks improved on paper, but look at the quarterbacks they face. Josh McCown, Tyrod Taylor, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Trevor Siemian, and then the inexplicable dud that we got from Derek Carr last week. And here comes Phillip Rivers, the hottest passer in the league. Three straight 300-yard games, and over those three games, he's averaging almost 350 yards per game. He rarely posts massive games against the Chiefs, though, going back through his game logs here against Kansas City. But I still like him here, even with the return of Marcus Peters, because the offense is clicking so well. I'm absolutely keeping Rivers in, and two of the three starting cornerbacks for the Chiefs are straight-up brutal. One of them is in the slot. Where they'll have to guard Keenan Allen, also an A grade here, probably the hottest quarterback coming into this matchup. He had a mundane outing against Kansas City in the earlier meeting back in week three, but man, his last month of games, here's his average game for Keenan Allen over the last month. 10 catches, 137 yards, and a touchdown per game. Chiefs don't look like they're going to be able to slow him down much. They've allowed the third most receiving yards, the second most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers. Staying with the wide receivers, one of my favorite sneaky plays of the week, and especially for daily fantasy, dirt cheap, Tyrell Williams. I know Brian Johnson's going to be all over this. Williams is a big play threat, averaging 18 yards per catch, and he goes up against a Kansas City defense that allows the most yards per catch to receivers. Chiefs did hold Williams to two catches in week three, but they've been burned by plenty of other wide receivers since then, and they rank second in touchdowns allowed to the position. So, Tyrell Williams, C grade here. Hunter Henry gets a C grade. Five or more targets in four straight games, 50 or more yards in three straight games. So he comes in hot, touchdowns in two of the last three, but Kansas City's been great against tight ends. They've surrendered a league-best two tight end touchdowns this year, just a C grade for Hunter Henry. And turning our attention to the running game, Melvin Gordon, Chiefs have given up a rushing score in seven of their last eight games, though only Le'Veon Bell has reached triple digits against them. Gordon hasn't rushed for 100 yards in a month, so I don't think we necessarily get a lot of yardage here, but he should be able to find the end zone. Let's go to the Chiefs side where there's a little less to talk about, beginning with the running game there, and Kareem Hunt with a B grade after he got back on track last week. He now gets to face the Chiefs defense that he lit up for 183 yards last time these teams met. And Chargers, though, have been better lately. No runners top 45 rushing yards or even 52 combo yards in the last three games. I'd like to think that Andy Reid can connect the dots to the big performance he got from Kareem Hunt last week and their first win in a month. So you might want to put that together, Andy.
That's a lot of dots.
It's a lot of dots.
Or two.
Let's connect the dots. That might be a little complicated for Andy Reid. B grade. For Kareem Hunt. Let's go to the passing game. Alex Smith gets a C. He's one of just three quarterbacks who has thrown multiple touchdown passes against the Chargers this season. That was in the week three game. No quarterback has managed to do that, multiple touchdowns, in 2 months against the Chargers. That secondary is great, getting after the quarterback and constantly. Oddly, Smith hasn't thrown multiple touchdowns in any home game this year. He's been all zeros and ones. nor has he topped 300 yards in Arrowhead all year long. And the only quarterback that's topped even 275 yards against the Chargers this year, Tom Brady. Pretty sure Alex Smith is not Tom Brady. So C grade on Alex Smith. Travis Kelce gets a B grade. Obviously, normally an integral part of the Chiefs' offense. He saw just one target when these teams met back in Week 3, and just one target the prior game at the end of last year, which is weird. But he's normally such a big part of the offense. I got to believe they're going to go back to him here. Chargers have allowed some yardage to tight ends, but they've only given up 3 touchdowns to the position all year.
This makes me worried that this is a Travis Kelce bomb right here.
It could be a Travis Kelce bomb.
I'm real nervous about it.
Kelce has 0 career touchdowns against the Chargers.
Wow.
None. So, I've still got a B grade on him because he's Travis Kelce, and they ought to go to him a lot more. But every historic trend here suggests that Kelce is sitting on a tough game. Let's go to Tyreek Hill. Final guy we'll talk about in this matchup. He went for 77 yards and a touchdown in the earlier matchup, but that's about as much as any receiver has done against this team all year. Los Angeles has allowed the 3rd fewest receiving yards, and what's more, only one receiver in the last 2 months has scored a touchdown against the Chargers. Only one receiver in the last 2 months has scored a touchdown against the Chargers. That's nuts. Tough matchup and a C grade.
Thought you were going to just keep going.
Just keep repeating
thought
it?
Thought you were just a broken record there or something.
I might have repeated it.
Right. 9 times.
Can't, you know, it could have happened. We'll take a break when we come back. Take a chance on me. 9 players, not normally in your starting lineup.
Well done, Charge.
Many of whom are available on the waiver wire. We'll tell you who they are when we come back.
You're mine. I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
It's Fantasy Football Weekly on the Fan Semifinals Edition. You need this? You win here, you're in the ship. And that doesn't mean you don't need help. There might be guys you need to pick up. We understand that can happen. Let's begin with the quarterback position. And Matt Harrison.
You know, I call this guy Blake Bortlecock now. Because, 2 weeks ago I had as my take a chance on me quarterback. What did he do that week? 309 yards and 2 touchdowns.
And he ran into. Was that the other week he ran to win?
No, that was. Okay. I was bragging about his running prowess during that take a chance.
Oh, all right. That was the week before. Okay.
He followed it up with 268 and 2 last week against that vaunted Seahawks defense. Oh, wow. Mm. In the last 7 games, 4 quarterbacks have topped 300 yards against the Texans. Of the remaining 3 quarterbacks, Blaine Gabbert had 3 touchdown passes, and Marcus Mariota had 1 on the ground and 1 through the air. And with injuries to Leo Fournette, it might be a pass-happy Jacksonville this week. I like Blake Bortles a lot.
I do, too. I think they're trying to get him ready for the playoffs and asking him to do more so that if he needs to go win a game with his arm in the playoffs, he can do it. Brian, your quarterback.
Oh, I got Joe Flacco at Cleveland. let's not forget.
Way to sell it.
Wait, are you Scottish a little bit there?
Maybe.
I've got Joe Flacco at Cleveland.
Let's not forget he is elite and has thrown for at least 2 touchdowns in 4 straight games against the Browns, who have allowed the most passing touchdowns this season, and 10 of 13 quarterbacks have scored multiple times. Flacco has logged 269 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2 straight games.
Exactly.
Third game. Exactly.
Wow.
That's his 4 for the 3rd in a row. And the Ravens, they're a sneaky cheap stack on Fanball. We'll talk a little more about that later.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
What?
It's taken me until week 15 to be able to put him in to take a chance on me. You know how I feel about Garoppolo. After 2 solid games, he now faces off against the worst defense he's seen as a member of the 49ers. It's the Titans, a bottom 5 pass defense for most of this year. Until recent games, they've been a little better against Blaine Gabbert, Tom Savage, and Jacoby Brissett. And even then, Savage threw for 365 yards. Competent quarterbacking has abused the Titans all year. Garoppolo's already competent. He hasn't had that blow-up fantasy box score-filling game yet. It's coming this week.
That was impressive that you took off your shirt while doing that.
And pants.
Yeah.
Let's go to the running back position. Matt.
I've got Mike Davis, and Mike D needs some respect. Despite missing much of the second half last week with a rib injury, Davis still had 16 touches, and he's ready to go again this week. He's facing a Rams defense that allowed 78 yards to the timeshare back Ajayi last week.
Yeah.
97 yards to Kerwin Williams the week before. 188 total yards and two scores to Alvin Kamara the week before that. And 95 yards and two touchdowns to Latavius the week before that.
Yeah.
Mike Davis.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to our next running back.
I'm playing to the PPR crowd and going with Duke Johnson, hosting the Ravens, game we just talked about. Over the last 4 weeks, Baltimore has allowed the sixth most catches and have yielded the most red zone targets to running backs. Duke has seen 25% of Cleveland's red zone targets during that same span. That is a very healthy amount. I just like his chances as a receiver a lot in this one. And for what it's worth, Duke has three red zone carries over the last two games, while Isaiah Crowell has zero. And Baltimore has allowed seven rushing touchdowns in the last seven games, so Duke could have a sneaky nice day.
If Buccaneers head coach Dirk Koetter wants to keep his job, he has to put his best players on the field. I'm going to go so far as to say I think Doug Martin is going to be a surprise deactivation on Sunday.
And that's a bold call, Kyle.
Peyton Barber is going to get the start. And even if he doesn't deactivate Martin, I think Peyton Barber is going to get the start. They benched Martin halfway through last week's game. Barber's better in every facet of the game. Now he goes up against Atlanta. It's a solid run defense. But Barber scored twice on these Falcons just 3 weeks ago. Peyton Barber. Let's go to the wide receiver position. Matt.
I actually have a tight end, and maybe you lost Kyle Rudolph for this week, or you're afraid of the Travis Kelce zero, but you're not going to play this guy over Travis Kelce still. It's Adam Shaheen of the Chicago Bears. Don't sleep on him. He was a second-round pick this season. He's got some good chemistry with Mitch Trubisky. In the last four games, the Lions have also yielded five touchdowns to the tight end position. That streak started with Adam Shaheen, who put up four catches for 41 yards and a touch in the Week 11 meeting with Detroit. Last week in a similar spot against another defense that's, pretty good.
Yeah.
Shaheen put up four catches for 44 yards and a touchdown against the Bengals.
All right.
So, I think he's going to get about 40-some yards and a touchdown this week. There we go.
All right.
Just make sure he plays. I heard he's questionable with the chest injury.
Yeah, he is.
Throwing that out there.
But they said he's going to play.
All right, good. I trust you.
He's going to play.
I, too, have a tight end, and I got Ben Watson at Cleveland. I'm pairing him with Joe Flacco. Cleveland ranked dead last in defending tight ends by Football Outsiders, allowing 64 yards per game, and they surrendered the second most touchdowns. Watson wham-boozled the Browns for eight catches and 91 yards in the first meeting.
Was that wham-boozled?
That's right. And wow. Cleveland has yielded the third most targets to tight ends per game. That's 8.5. And when Ben Watson has seen at least five targets this year, that's happened six times, he's averaging more than 5.5 catches and 40 yards. And he also had six catches for 107 yards and two touchdowns against the Browns in 2007.
Wow.
Can you guess what team that was with?
No.
The Patriots.
Patriots. 2007 might have been the year that he had that amazing catch the guy from behind hypotenuse run, 100 yards. And it was Brady throws an end zone interception on the right hand sideline. Opposing players running down the right hand sideline. Ben Watson, tight end, his route sent him to the left side of the end zone. He ran down some cornerback from the opposite side of the far end zone and tackled
him
at like
the
2 yard
line. 4.3 speed.
He does, apparently. Speaking of 4.3 speed,
yeah,
that's my guy, D.D. Westbrook. You'll want to use as my take a chance on me wide receiver. Speed receivers are destroying the Texans. Listen to these 4-4-40 names I'm going to give you. Marquise Goodwin, Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton. All 4-4 guys against Houston, average game, 128 yards and a touchdown. Here comes D.D. Westbrook faster than any of them. He's a 4-3-4 guy. Houston's secondary has allowed the seventh most yards and the seventh most touchdowns to receivers. We'll take a break. When we come back, got a bunch more matchups to get through, including Texans taking on the Jaguars. We'll tell you if there are any Texans left to start, including Lamar Miller with a third-string quarterback at the helm, and what you can do about DeAndre Hopkins as well. Another thorny issue when we come back.
This is Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Devaney's on The Fan. We'll be right back.
the show, Fantasy Football Weekly on the Fan. Let's power through some matchups, beginning with Texans versus the Jaguars. It's a third-string quarterback for the Texans and a gimpy DeAndre Hopkins. Matt, what should owners do?
They're still going to start DeAndre Hopkins. I'm giving him a B grade still. He's been basically matchup-proof and quarterback-proof this season.
But he wasn't last season. He was not quarterback-proof last season. We've seen that.
No, we're talking about this season, though.
I understand
where
that.
He's either scored or hit 73 yards.
Quarterbacking can be bad enough to take him away.
Scored or hit 73 yards in every game this season. 7 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown in the first meeting with Jacksonville. He's one of the only guys who scored against the Jaguars, at least for the first half of the season. He gets the B, even though he's a little nicked up. The passing game with TJ Yates is all on the bench, the rest of them. Mm. In 3 career combined games, by the way, Tom Savage and TJ Yates have never thrown a touchdown pass against the Jaguars. Impressively, both Savage and Yates have had box scores of under 100 passing yards in 2 of those games.
Damn. And yet, you're still telling me I gotta start DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, he's gonna get all 100 of the yards that TJ Yates throws.
I don't know.
Lamar Miller, I'm giving a C. The Jaguars have only allowed 3.5 yards per carry and 2 total touchdowns to running backs over the last 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
Still, Miller's had at least 18 touches in each of his last 4 games and scored twice in that span, so he's a volume play. He's a young Frank Gore. Let's flip over to the Jaguar side. Leonard Fournette, he's questionable with a quad injury, and he did not practice Friday. This makes this really dicey.
Yeah, a true game-time decision.
Yeah, in the 2 weeks where Fournette did not play, weeks 7 and 9, it was snap rates of 52% for Chris Ivory and 39% for TJ Yeldon.
Yep.
Touches were 40 for Ivory, 23 for Yeldon. Red zone carries, 12 for Ivory, 2 for Yeldon.
Yeah.
And they still ran 54% of the time when Fournette was out. So
there are a lot of people listening right now. If Fournette is inactive, Chris Ivory's going to be roughly my running back 15. I'll be moving him on Sunday in my rankings at Fanball.
Yeah.
And running back 15 means he's probably a starter for your team. So seriously, go get him if he's available.
Grab Chris Ivory if he's available. If Fournette's in, he gets a B grade. Houston has allowed 4 running back touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and 5 different backs have topped 60 yards in that span. But if Fournette out, Ivory gets the B grade, and Yeldon even gets a C. Blake Bortlecock was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. Dede Westbrook was Charge's take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver. That leaves Marquise Lee and Keelan Cole, who I'm giving both C grades to. Charge mentioned the speed receivers besting the Texans, but
yes.
Many outside receivers have done the same. Case in point, Robert Woods is a good example. He had 8 catches for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns just a few weeks ago against the Texans. That brings Marquise Lee into the conversation. And Cole, who plays the slot, has scored in each of his last 2 weeks, but he hasn't topped 3 targets in either game. So I hope he gets 6 targets this game, because that means he'll score twice. So he gets the C grade. The end.
Cardinals take on the Redskins. Larry Fitzgerald gets the A grade that he normally gets here. Washington's been one of the worst teams against slot receivers this season, giving up over 100 yards to Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, Doug Baldwin, and Baldwin, Thielen, and Nelson Aguilar, and even Jarius Wright have all scored from the slot against the Redskins. And here comes Fitzgerald, 10 targets per game. So I still like him a lot against Kendall Fuller. He gets an A grade. Blaine Gabbert, we'll have to throw him the ball, just a C grade for him. Washington's now allowed 5 multiple touchdown games in their past 6. 4 of those quarterbacks top 300 yards. Gabbert's been competent, but he had a dud last week when I thought he was going to have a good game. It's a great matchup. Still, it's Gabbert, so I'm only giving him a C here, but the matchup would suggest it's more like a B. Staying with the passing game, Ricky, Seals, Jones is the only other Cardinal receiver you probably care about. Just 3 targets last week. He only caught 1 for 20 yards, which was a letdown. But this week, the matchup is awesome. Washington has allowed the 2nd most yards to tight ends, the 3rd most touchdowns to tight ends. They've also allowed a tight end touchdown in 5 straight games. So, Ricky, Seals, Jones, definitely on the radar this week.
It's just RSJ.
RSJ.
We got to save time.
He's one of the hyphens.
Nice. Kerwin Williams, sneaky play this week.
Kerwin.
Yes. He's had back-to-back games of at least 85 total yards, and he goes into a game against a Washington defense that, over the last 5 weeks, has allowed the 2nd most rushing yards in the league. 6 rushing touchdowns over the last 5 weeks. The last 2 starting running backs that have faced Washington, have had at least 80 yards and scored. So Kerwin Williams, a nice sneaky play right now.
He's going to power me to an Empire League championship game.
Is he really?
I'm calling it. Yeah, Kerwin's going to hook me up.
I like that.
Against me?
That will be against you.
Yeah.
Next week.
You guys are in the championship.
We're in the semis next.
That's great.
Right now.
Let's go to the Washington side of this. I've got Kirk Cousins with a B grade here. He hasn't produced very well of late. And it's a matchup against a middle-of-the-pack Cardinals defense, so it doesn't feel like a great opportunity here. They're just in the middle on completions and passing yards and passing touchdowns allowed. You figure Patrick Peterson's going to neutralize Josh Doctson, who I've got on the bench. But Cousins got a great matchup with the A-graded Jamison Crowder inside my top 10 at the wide receiver position this week.
What?
Get this. My favorite stat of the week. Honey Badger, the matchup with Honey Badger is so favorable. Every team is pouring receptions at him. Slot receivers have led their teams in receptions against the Cardinals in six straight games. And here comes the best receiver on Washington from the slot, and it's Jamison Crowder averaging 9 targets per game.
9 times?
9 times.
I love Jamison Crowder.
9 times.
A grade this week. I mentioned Doctson's on the bench. Vernon Davis is on the bench. Can't take it anymore. He's blown so many great opportunities. I can't recommend him even in a decent matchup here. And then lastly, Samaje Perine playing hurt. And even though he's getting a lot of touches, he's not doing anything with them the last couple of weeks. His offensive line has been all banged up. He's going to miss at least one starter this week, I believe, left guard. And I don't know. Arizona's a solid run defense that ranks 7th in yards allowed. They're holding backs to just 3.4 yards per carry. I've got a C grade on Samaje Perine. Next, Dolphins taking on the Bills. This is Kenyon Drake, red hot. Brian, does it continue here?
He's the fantasy Fonzie?
Kenyon Drake.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Over the last 2 weeks, only Le'Veon Bell has seen a higher percentage of his team's carries than Kenyon Drake, who gets 80% of the carries during that span.
Can we get Fonzie on the button bar?
I was going to say, yeah. Tony, we need a Fonzie sounder.
And this is a great spot for Drake. Bills are allowing 160 rushing yards and nearly 2 touchdowns per game to the position over the past 6 weeks. So, yeah, I'm all about Kenyon Drake this week, as you should be too. Not so much for Jarvis Landry. Going to give him a soft B here. Has recorded at least 5 catches in every game this year and has 8 touchdowns over his last 10 games. And he draws a favorable matchup with Bills slot corner Leonard Johnson, who is the weakest of the corners for Buffalo. In recent weeks, slot receivers Albert Wilson and Keenan Allen have posted big games.
Is a soft B like a B minus?
How dare you?
No. No, it's not. No, it absolutely is not. We don't do that here.
Here's a hard B for bench for Devontae Parker. Bench him all day. Hasn't scored since week 2, which was his only touchdown of the season.
Mm.
Yardage totals for Parker in his last 4 games, 40. Comma, 5, comma, 5, comma, 26.
Thank you.
I don't want to make sure he had 45 yards.
No, he didn't get that.
No, he's not that good. So he's on the bench. Julius Thomas is not, though. I got a C for him. The Bills are one of 4 teams to allow at least 70 catches and 700-plus yards to opposing tight ends this year, and Thomas has been more active, so I like him this week. But I do have Jay Cutler on the bench, despite having multiple touchdown passes in his last 6 full games. Only 2 of the last 6 opposing quarterbacks have topped 250 yards against Buffalo, and that was just barely, and just one of them threw for 2 touchdowns. In fact, only 2 quarterbacks have thrown for multiple touchdowns against Buffalo all season.
Yeah.
Who has more interceptions, 13, than touchdowns allowed.
Wow. 11. How about that?
So Cutler on the bench. That's it for Miami over to Buffalo. LeSean McCoy gets an A as well. Miami's allowing 142 combo yards per game over the last 4 weeks and 4 total touchdowns. So easy start for Shady. Not so easy for Kelvin Benjamin. He's on the bench. You just can't trust him with that torn meniscus in his knee.
Yeah, he went down for a while last week, too. So, scored the touchdown and got hurt on the play, which is everything you need to know about Kelvin Benjamin in a nutshell right there.
It was impressive he scored on Hoth, but yeah, no Benjamin this week.
It was Hoth cold.
It was.
We're not touching any of the other wide receivers for Buffalo here. Nope. I will play with some Charles Clay down by the bay. What do you say? The Dolphins have allowed the 3rd most catches and touchdowns to tight ends this year. And Charles Clay is Tyrod's security blanket, so he gets a C. And speaking of Tyrod, just missed the cut as my take chance on me quarterback, but I got him on the bench.
I'm worried about the knee.
Yeah, I am a little bit too. And it would be a good matchup for a mobile quarterback, even though Miami's only faced 1 true mobile quarterback, and that was Cam Newton, who had 95 rushing yards. But
his backup's pretty mobile.
Yeah.
Joe Webb.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Peter.
Yeah, right. The other one.
Killed himself last week, diving head first. But yeah, Tyrod on the bench.
I agree. Bears taking on the Lions. That game is happening today.
That is
4 o'clock. You can hear it on the fan. We encourage you to set your lineups now so that doesn't sneak up on you. Bears take on the Lions. We had a fantastic game from Jordan Howard last week. Prior to that, he had a great opportunity against San Francisco, did nothing with it.
So yeah, I benched him last week.
So which version of Jordan Howard are you going to get?
You get the A version of Jordan Howard. Over the last 5 weeks, only the Bills have allowed more touchdowns to running backs than the 7 the Lions have gave up. In the first meeting this season, Howard averaged 8.3 yards per carry on his way to 115 yards and a score. He's an A. Even Tariq Cohen gets a C. Cohen averaged just shy of 5 yards per carry in the first meeting with Detroit, and finally got some touches last week with 12 carries for 80 yards in the win at Cincy. He's been targeted 14 times in the last 4 games, which is a few ticks north of his first 5 weeks under Trubisky. So things are trending upward for Tariq Cohen. Speaking of Mitchell Trubisky, I'm giving him a C grade, almost like a bonus take a chance on me quarterback. He's coming off his best fantasy game of his career, 271 passing, a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. The Lions defense has allowed multiple touchdowns to quarterbacks in 4 of their last 5 games. The only time they did not, it was against Mitch Trubisky in Week 10. Mitch had 179 and 1.
You mean Sad Trombonski?
That's what you mean.
That is what I mean. I love Sad Trombonski.
It's so much of a stretch.
It really isn't. But it's so bad, it's good. That's why I like it.
In the first meeting, Trubisky did have 53 rushing yards in that game, too.
Okay.
Dontrell Inman's on the bench. For some reason, Inman has become the out man, especially last week where he did not receive one target. He's still the best outside option, so he likely draws Detroit's best corner, Darius Slay, this week. Kendall Wright, on the other hand, came from out of nowhere and had 10 catches for 107 yards last week from the slot.
We'll talk more about that when we get to the Vikings.
I'm going to give him a C grade. He draws the better matchup in the slot against either Nevin Lawson or Tease Tabor, one of my favorite names in football. And Adam Shaheen was my take a chance.
What happened
of me
to Keandre Diggs?
I don't want to play him.
All right.
Nope. No. No.
All right.
In a playoff week? No.
No, I mean, I'm talking about slot cornerback DeAndre Diggs.
Oh, they moved him to safety.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Thank you. Amir Abdullah on the other side. He's questionable with a neck injury, but he's expected to play. If Abdullah does play, the whole running back situation is on the bench now. It's pretty murky. Theo Riddick and Teon Green, or Shun Green, I've heard him called, won't get enough touches to be fantasy-worthy. The Bears have not allowed a rushing touchdown in 4 straight games either, so they're all on the bench. Matthew Stafford's getting a B. In his last 5 games against the Bears, it's been 1 of 2 Staffords. In the 3 games that he was good Stafford, he hit the 298-yard mark 3 times, had multiple touchdown passes in each of those. In the other 2, bad Stafford had 223 or less and 1 total score with 4 picks. In his last 8 games, he hasn't been held under 249 yards, though, and has had multiple touchdown passes in 5 of those. I'm thinking it's good Stafford this week. Marvin Jones is getting an A grade. The Bears have allowed 75-plus yards or a touchdown to 5 of the last 6 wide receiver ones they've faced, and Marvin Jones is the wide receiver one, including 4 catches for 85 yards and a touch to Jones just a couple of weeks ago. Jones has topped 85 yards in 6 of his last 8 and scored 6 times during that span. Golden Tate's getting a C as well, averaging 9 targets over his last 3 games. The Bears are better against slot receivers than outside wide receivers.
Yep.
But
I'm nervous about Tate,
too. Yeah, I'm a little nervous here. Tate hasn't topped 58 yards or scored against Chicago in his last 4 tries. Kenny Galladay's on the bench, and we're also benching the Lions tight ends. One tight end on the Lions had 10 catches for 94 yards last week, but we don't know his name. And that's like searching for the 7 cities of gold, trying to get a Lions tight end to do something, right? The Bears have held every tight end not named Zach Ertz or Austin Hooper to under 50 yards this season, and Hooper did all his damage in that fluky Week 1 play for like 80 yards.
All right, let's try to work in one call.
Let's.
I think Brandon has been on the longest. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
So I've got kind of like a little wide receiver conundrum going on this week, just trying to figure out who to play. I'm in a half-point PPR. I've got Golden Tate, Cooper Kupp, and Mohamed Sanu. Kind of trying to decide who to start between the 3 and maybe take Lamar Miller out of my flex and play all those 3. What do you guys think?
Is it so 2 of 3?
Sanu is way up at number 15 at the wide receiver.
Sanu's a no doubter for sure. Mm-hmm. Sanu is in.
I like Kupp over Tate as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Tate way down at 35, I think, at the wide receiver position for the reasons that Matt just elucidated.
I'm a little worried about it, Robert Woods coming back with Kupp just a little in a second game of a divisional matchup. But all right, go ahead.
We'll talk about Cooper Kupp in the later matchup.
Okay.
I mean, would you take Lamar Miller over Golden Tate in that too on a flex spot?
PPR, I'd rather have Tate. I have no faith. I have no faith in that entire Houston offense doing anything.
Yeah, with that third string in there.
Yep. TJ Yates at the helm. You've got DeAndre Hopkins hobbled. I hate every part of that. Jaguars have been great against the run ever since the Darius trade. Everything here tells me it's a down game for Miller.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. Gage, hello.
Yes, Church.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a running back controversy here in a full point PPR. I got Tariq Cohen, Bilal Powell, and Doug Martin fighting for one spot.
Well, I think we're only giving one a starting grade out of all those guys, and that's Tariq Cohen.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go look for Duke Johnson.
Yeah, you may be able to do better off the waiver wire. Peyton Barber, Chris Ivory, going to like him lots better. We need to work in a break. We're a little long, and let's do that when we come back. Five tough questions. You can play along. Can you go 5-0 with our panel of experts? Find out next segment.
You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. Hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian, Brian Johnson, Matt Harrison. Semifinals, getting you ready for the championship game next week. It'll be our last show as well. And then Beyond the Pond will get cranked up on Saturday mornings after that.
Woo, hockey.
It's hockey season. Wild one four in a row, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Playing Connor McDavid, the Edmonton Oilers, today at 1 on The Fan.
Thank you for the fan. Okay.
Devani's hot question number one.
In 2006, career bust runner Ron Dayne went berserk for the Texans during the fantasy playoffs and powered owners into championships. Who is this year's Ron Dayne? Matt.
For the record, I don't think anybody is, but the guy with the best chance, I believe, is Kerwin Williams. Adrian Peterson looks like he's done for the year with a neck injury. David Johnson's not coming back. Kerwin had 16 touches in week 13, 21 touches last week. Faces Washington this week. Washington's allowed 6 running back touchdowns in the last 5 weeks, and opposing running back groups are averaging 134 rushing yards against the Redskins in that span. And then Kerwin gets the Giants, who have allowed Samaje Perine, Marshawn Lynch, and Rod Smith to top 120 total yards in 3 of the last 4 weeks. Lynch scored once. Smith scored twice. I think Kerwin Williams has a shot to be that guy.
Okay.
I was going to go Kerwin, but I'm going to cheat a little bit and take a guy who already played this week and had a monster game, C.J. Anderson.
He's there.
He's already helped his owners in week 15. And then next week,
he's got... jerk. This isn't good info.
Next week, he's got the Redskins, though.
Just
talked about. So if C.J. Anderson is out there, he's a guy who is startable in week 16.
Yeah, if you can pick him up and use the stats that he already accumulated, totally. Sure.
Yeah, the fly in that ointment is the playoff started last week. He did nothing last week. The correct answer is Kenyon Drake. His average game before the fantasy playoffs was 43 total yards and 0.2 touchdowns, which basically made him Donta Foreman.
Mm.
Now, since the fantasy playoffs last week, he had 93 yards last week. Here he comes this week. He's my number 3 running back this week against Buffalo. Love him this week. That's a Buffalo defense giving up 160 rushing yards per game. I like your Kerwin Williams answer, and I will give you credit for second place.
Well, it's like a half point?
It's a tenth of a point.
Devani's hot question number two.
Next year, Antonio Brown will be everybody's number one ranked wide receiver, unless Ben quits, but let's assume he won't quit. Who should be the number two wide receiver in a half point PPR league? So it's just standard, typical league. Who should be the number two wide receiver? Brian.
DeAndre Hopkins, the end. I mean, look what he does with garbage quarterbacking. He and Brown are head and shoulders above the rest of the wide receivers, in my opinion. So I'm just going to say Nuke.
Since Charch asked on Twitter the other day, make a case for me not taking DeAndre Hopkins at 1-1.
That doesn't mean I'm advocating it.
Antonio Brown is the case against him, but yeah. I think it's Hopkins as well. I agree with everything Brian said.
It's DeAndre Hopkins.
Giovanni's hot question number three.
Given all the problems at the tight end position this year, next year, once you get, you know, and once you, it, by the way, we should, let me preface this. For this year, all the problems be, if you don't have one of the top, like, five tight ends, it's a disaster, right? So if you've got, you know, if you've got Gronk and Ertz or Graham, you're fine. Everybody else, horrific season. So for next year, should fantasy owners give greater priority to the tight end position in next year's drafts? Matt?
There's still a lot of volatility at that position. Gronk has missed two games. Ertz has been dinged up for a while and missed last week. Kelsey's the only one who played all year of those upper echelon guys. And he might have a rookie under center next season. So I think I can survive with mid-tier guys like Kyle Rudolph, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, who's going to be clear of Antonio Gates next year. And I like the rookie crop of tight ends this year with the aforementioned Evan Engram, O.J. Howard, David Njoku, Adam Shaheen. So unless the value is right, I'll probably roll the dice at tight end and not prioritize it.
I agree with everything you said, but Engram is in that top five.
Yeah, he is. Ingram is in the top. He's at the bottom of the top five.
Yeah, I like the rookies. I like the prospects next year. The one you didn't mention is Jonnu Smith on Tennessee, who has a lot of potential, and Delanie Walker is getting old.
If if Walker retires, and he might, then yeah, he could possibly
in the tooth.
Yeah, you're both wrong.
Oh.
And I'll give you a real life parable from my own experiences here. I traded away Gronk in the coveted Charge League in week 10. And so that meant I had to cobble together tight ends. Well, like most, half of our listeners have had to do. Here's what I've gotten since week 10. I had started Cameron Brait for one catch for 10 yards. Then I started Cameron Brait for one catch and 12 yards. Then I went, all right, Adam Shaheen, up and coming rookie, one catch for 1 yard. Then I decided, okay, Shaheen won't stink again. He had a great matchup, I think 49ers, zero catches, 0 yards. Then last week, I went to Ricky Seals-Jones, one catch, 20 yards.
You're hitting all these guys the week after they do well.
Streaming tight ends?
Yeah.
Apparently, I can't
stream tight problem.
Ends. Maybe it's me. I don't think it's necessarily
Ben Watson charge.
And I ended up losing half of those games. I'm lucky to be alive in the Charge League in the semifinals. I've done it despite taking basically 0 points from my tight end position. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I think you should prioritize the tight end position, get somebody you feel comfortable with, and know that you've locked down that position.
Devani's hot question number four.
It's probably going to stop me from winning the Charge League when everything's set and done. I'm not getting anything out of tight end. Fast forward to next year's draft. It's the middle of the first round and you're on the clock. Should fantasy owners select DeAndre Hopkins with this pick and then wrap around and take Deshaun Watson in the middle of the second round? Brian?
Maybe if you're drafting in a dynasty startup, but even then you're doing the wrong thing. Always do an auction in dynasties. But no, the second round for a quarterback, that's just way too late. No. Or early. Way too early.
Yeah, like Brian said, I'm fine with taking Hopkins in the first round, but I wouldn't take Watson in the second. He'll be coming off the ACL. Usually takes guys about half a season to get fully recovered from the ACL, and much of his value is predicated on the running ability. Plus, you draft Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady in the second round. You don't draft Deshaun Watson then. You draft him in fourth or fifth round.
Deshaun Watson has the kind of talent that powers you to a championship. A little like Alvin Kamara is doing this year. Cam Newton did 3 years ago. Assuming that he's had, because he suffered the injury early enough, that he's going to hit training camp running, literally, yes, I want that kind of game-changing ability.
He's your QB1 then next year.
He might be my QB1 or my QB2 or somewhere in that ballpark. Yes, right. I mean look, the games he played, he was QB1.
I can't wait till these state fair shows and your tune has changed,
Which is distinctly possible.
Yes,
Devani's hot question number five.
Also, by the way, do the opposite, baby. Do the opposite.
Devani's hot question number five.
Next year, should fantasy owners draft Mike Evans in the first round, the second round, the third round, or later than that? Matt?
Fantasy owners are way too reactionary to last year's numbers, and I think his ADP will shake out to round two. But I wouldn't mind reaching around on him and getting him at the tail end of round one. They'll have a new coach in Tampa. Winston will be healthy again. He's been dinged up with the shoulder all year. I think Evans is a late first-round guy.
I pretty much agree with you. I think you'll be late second, early third, but I don't know if I'd reach for the first. But it's been a cursed season for Tampa Bay, starting with that week one bye they were forced into. But Evans still one of seven wide receivers with at least nine targets from inside the 10-yard line. Those are elite opportunities, and he's a freak of an athlete. So I'd take him in the second.
All right. I love that both of you are not buying into just what happened last year. Right now, he's wide receiver 20 in, you know, roughly wide receiver 20, depending on your scoring system. Last year, he was wide receiver 5. As a rookie, he was wide receiver 11. In all probability, one way or another, Mike Evans will be better next year. He's heading towards a new contract. Jameis Winston won't be playing injured all season long. He might very well have a better new head coach than the one he's got now. Offensive line should be better. I'm taking him in the second round, knowing that most people won't. I don't have to take him at the end of the first round. I'll have a problem. I won't have a problem with it next year, but I don't have to take him at the end of the second. There are a lot of people who are just going to write him off because what Matt said is exactly right. Most fantasy owners just replay the last year, and that is a mistake. Big thanks to our decade-long sponsor, Grain Belt Premium, the official beer of fantasy football. Don't forget to play the free Crush Charge Challenge at grainbelt.com. And by the way, set that lineup now before the 4 o'clock Bears-Lions game.
Oh, yeah.
Many thanks to our friends at the brewery, Sean Ryan, Lee Wendinger, Ted and Jody Marty, the owners of the brewery. And many thanks to Dave Wilson, our manager at Manny's Steakhouse, for our big winner's banquet coming up in a couple of weeks. Our week 14 winner joining us at the winner's banquet at Manny's. Craig Moakley.
Oh, Craig Moakley.
Yes.
He said that he's going to take me to the winner's banquet as his date.
I think he made a promise.
Or maybe Brian, one of the two.
Scott Rich.
Yeah.
You're out there, Scott, right? I'm banking on this man.
Yeah.
Now, Scott. Don't
yeah.
We
Brian and I need to get there. We're hungry.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Hungry hippos? Somebody on Twitter is saying, and I don't know if it's true or not, that... that Adam Shaheen has been ruled out for the game.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it's true. I'm just saying this is just random Twitter guy nice enough to tweet me.
This morning,
take a chance on she.
Yeah, so you're take a chance. You want to pivot your take a chance on me to Tyrell Williams?
That was me. I'll pivot it.
Oh, that was you. Sorry.
Kendall Wright. How about that? There we go.
All right, Kendall Wright.
Double down on Ben Watson.
Yeah, double Ben Watson.
Eagles take on the Giants, and... this is an opportunity for a couple of guys that that I really like in this one. In fact, for Zach Ertz, the Giants possess bottom 10 rankings against tight ends and receptions, yards, and touchdowns. In week 3, Ertz put up 8 receptions and a touchdown against the Giants. Obviously, Nick Foles injects a lot of variables into the passing game here, but I still like Zach Ertz as an A-graded guy. I also like Alshon Jeffrey with an A. Alshon averaging 1 touchdown per game over his last 6 games. He's come alive here, and he will encounter a Giants defense that ranks 31st against the pass. He'll mostly see Pro Football Focus's 77th-ranked cornerback, Ross Cockrell, who gave up a 50-yard touchdown to Dez Bryant last week. Alshon Jeffrey.
I don't know. You'll probably touch on it, but no Landon Collins for the Giants.
Yeah, right. No okay. Landon Collins
he
for this
one
as well.
He has every tackle for the Giants, I'm pretty sure, this year.
He has 100% of the team tackles. Yep. Easily the best player left standing in that second. Well, he's the best player all season long in that secondary. That's a disaster. No Janoris Jenkins here. Nick Foles, you know, for everybody who thinks Nick Foles is going to torpedo this offense, you're going to be surprised, and he's a B grade here. Absolutely startable in my mind for those reasons and more. Already an above-average backup quarterback who posted decent numbers in the 2 games that he started last year for Kansas City, but has a much better offense around him now, and he knows this offense well. Plenty of upside against this terrible Giants secondary, ranking 31st in passing yards allowed and dead last in passing touchdowns allowed. Nelson Aguilar, C grade here. He works out of the slot. That means he's going to match up against the best remaining player in the Giants secondary, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. If it were a better matchup, he might even have a higher grade here, but I'm going to stick with a C for Nelson Aguilar. Ever since the Jay Ajayi trade, you know I've been very cautious about starting him because of the timeshare. Not this week.
What?
I love Ajayi this week. I'm so close to giving him an A, but I'm giving him a B only because I still also like Corey Clement and I still like LeGarrette Blount. Ajayi's registered 12
plus.
You have
to stop liking LeGarrette Blount. He's so bad.
So are your Giants. Your Giants are so bad. Okay. There's enough to go around
it's
here.
It's personal, Brian. Right. Your Giants suck.
They do. If there's ever a time for a workhorse performance from Jay Ajayi, it's this one. They can ease Nick Foles into the starting job. Giants ranked 31st against the run. They're giving up 130 rushing yards per game. I think Ajayi, who he had all those carries at the point of the trade for Miami, and then they've used him sparingly now so that he can be their workhorse going into the playoffs. I think Ajayi is going to ratchet up his touches. Love him this week. In a pinch, you can start Clement. You can start Blunt. Remember last week? Do you remember my take a chance on me running back last week?
No, I wasn't here.
That was Rod Smith. Oh. What did I say about Rod Smith last week?
I don't know.
The Giants' run defense is so bad that the backup runners are getting it done every week against them. DeAndre Hopkins, Matt Breida, Malcolm Brown, Devontae Booker, Corey Clement, and Rod Smith last week went off against these Giants.
Last week, 7 carries, 12 yards against the Rams in a meaty matchup. So
for who?
LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount. Yeah, your Giants are so bad. LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement.
How
both
bad are
plausible
they?
Plausible starters in this game. Let's go to the Giants side. We'll keep this brief because there's not a lot to like here. Eli Manning's on the bench. The Eagles have allowed 2 or fewer touchdown passes in 10 of 13 games. And although Manning posted his best game of the year on these Eagles, their secondary has gotten tons better over the past couple of months. So I'm keeping Eli on the bench, and that means I got to be nervous about his weapons as well. Sterling Shepard's a hesitancy, and that's it. Only really because he scored in this matchup last time around. But that, again, a long time ago against a very different secondary for the Eagles. And the Giants then had Odell Beckham. They had Brandon Marshall. So it was a lot easier for Sterling Shepard. And he draws elite coverage corner Patrick Robinson, who ranks number 3 by Pro Football Focus among all cornerbacks in the league. So Shepard barely a C start here. Evan Ingram, a B start. Eagles have the fourth-ranked overall pass defense. Their one flaw has been against athletic tight ends. Guys like Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce and Hunter Henry and Jimmy Graham have all scored or topped 100 yards. This passing offense largely goes through Ingram, so I'm sticking with a B grade from him, but he's close to a C as well. Then the last guy I'll mention for the Giants, Orleans Darkwa. Eagles have the best run defense in the league. The Giants have the 28th-ranked run offense. He's managed just 91 total yards in the past 3 games, and he's giving up carries to Wayne Gallman. Orleans Darkwa, solidly on your bench. How are we doing on time? Let's work in one more matchup.
Let's
do it. Ravens take on the Browns. Brian, one of the candidates for the Ron Dayne Award for this year is Alex Collins, although kind of comes in almost too hot for the Ron Dayne Award. What do you think of Alex Collins this week against a Browns run defense that for much of the year was ranked number 1 in yards per carry allowed?
Yeah, they've been great all year. Not so much recently as they've allowed 100-plus combo yards to running backs in 4 straight games. And Collins does have at least 2 catches in 5 of his last 6 games, so there is some versatility out of the backfield there. But I'm just going to give him a B because I still respect the Browns' run game enough. Danny Woodhead on the bench, though, averaging just 32 combo yards in 4 games since returning from injury. Just 3 red zone targets in that span. It's not getting the usage you want for a Week 15 matchup, so he's on the bench. Mike Wallace, I'm going to give him a C. He is questionable with an ankle injury. Should be good to go. Averaging 73 receiving yards the last 4 weeks. Cleveland has surrendered the 5th most touchdowns to wide receivers. So I'll give Wallace a go. I got Macklin on the bench unless Wallace is declared inactive. 19 targets over the last 2 games for Jeremy Macklin, but just 7 catches. Kind of bad ratio there. He did score in the Week 2 meeting when these teams played, but logged just 31 yards. He's a Hail Mary if you need it, but on the bench for now. And then Ben Watson and Joe Flacco were both my take-a-chance-on-me players. Great pairing if you're on Fanball this weekend. Very cheap. Mm. Over to the Browns. Who are they playing again? The Browns.
Ravens-Browns, yes.
Josh Gordon gets a B. No Jimmy Smith is a big boon for Gordon. Opposing number 1 wide receivers have seen at least 10 targets in Baltimore's last 4 games. Look what Antonio Brown did to the Ravens last week. Deshaun Kizer is no Big Ben, obviously.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
Gordon is safely a top 12-15 play this week. He's got to be. Corey Coleman, I'll give a desperation C. The Ravens have allowed the second most catches to wide receivers over the last 3 weeks. And during that span, the number 2 wide receivers from each opposing team have seen at least 8 targets. So Coleman should have some opportunity here. I got Njoku on the bench, Kizer on the bench. Isaiah Crowell also on the bench. Baltimore's run defense has been lights out since the return of defensive tackle Brandon Williams. Over the past 6 weeks, opposing running backs are averaging just 2.9 yards per carry, and not one has topped 57 yards. But I will take a chance on Duke Johnson in PPR leagues. I like this matchup here.
All right, nicely done. When we come back, Rams take on the Seahawks. Do you dare go with Robert Woods in his first game back? I've had tons of people asking about him and the rest of the Rams. Find out when we come back.
This is Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Devonnie's on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan. A series of matchups to get to for you. Rams taking on the Seahawks, Matt, and we all know to start Todd Gurley in any situation, even against a tough Seattle run defense, but I'm a lot more interested in your thoughts about the passing game here, especially with the return of Robert Woods.
Yeah, Gurley's an obvious A grade. Let's move to Jared Goff then. Goff, I'm giving a C. Left tackle Andrew Whitworth has an MCL injury, but looks like he's going to tough it out and play. Last time these two teams met, Seattle defensive end Frank Clark had a really good day against Whitworth, who was healthy back then, and that included a strip sack against Goff. And then right guard Rob Havenstein is also injured, and he gets a lot of Michael Bennett this week. So I'm nervous that Goff won't get the time in the pocket in a hostile environment. The Seattle secondary has a lot of injury issues, too. They gave up 268-2 to Bortles last week, 348-1 to Wentz the week before. Goff had 288, no touchdowns in the first meeting. He had two interceptions in that game, so he just gets the C grade. The only guy getting a B grade on the passing offense is Cooper Kupp. I'm giving him a B. Even though Robert Woods is returning from a shoulder injury list this week. In the last five games, five different wide receivers have topped 75 yards. Three of those have scored. Nelson Aguilar, Keelan Cole, and Daddy Mohamed Sanu each scored from the slot in the last 5 weeks. And Larry Fitzgerald had 10 catches for 113. That gives Kupp the nod as the best matchup of the three wide receivers. Kupp's also had five or more catches in five straight games. I'm still giving Woods and Watkins each tepid C grades, but I don't feel very good about it for either of them. Let's flip on over to the Seattle side. Russell Wilson, he's getting an A grade. In an away game last week against one of the best three defenses in the league, Wilson put up 271 yards and three touchdowns in the air and had another 50 rushing yards. Now he's at home this week against the defense that allowed 291 yards and four touchdown passes to Carson Wentz in three quarters. I like him a lot. I rest my case. Doug Baldwin, I'm also giving an A. The Rams have given up big days to slot guys as well recently. Adam Thielen had 123-1 in week 11. Larry Fitzgerald had a big day. Nelson Aguilar had eight catches for 64 last week. And Baldwin has topped 80 yards or scored in five of his last six. I'm not going so far as to chase the stats on Paul Richardson or Tyler Lockett. Richardson has topped 72 yards only once this season and was held out of the end zone in five of the last six. And Lockett only has 15 total targets in his last five games. They're both on your bench. Jimmy Graham gets a B. B is for bounce back. And if you survived Jimmy Graham's goose egg last week, kudos to you for building an amazing squad. Please tweet me the picture of your lineup this week at Explosive Output. Trey Burton and Brent Celek combined for six catches, 76 yards, and three touchdowns last week. Jimmy Graham's going to get a touchdown, if not two, this week.
All right. Let's go to our next matchup, Bengals taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Tough decision on A.J. Green for a lot of people. He gets Xavier Rhodes and a Vikings defense that ranks fourth against the pass. Rhodes has shut down a series of Green-level receivers like Julio Jones 2 weeks ago, but he's also nursing a calf injury, and he's given up two touchdowns in the last three games. Green's been heavily targeted the last couple of weeks, but almost all receivers see a big dip in targets and receptions against Rhodes. Just a B grade for A.J. Green in this matchup. Andy Dalton gets a C coming off the worst game of his season last week. He faces a much tougher defense, and he's on the road. Vikings rank fourth against the pass. They've given up the second fewest passing touchdowns. On the plus side of his six road games this year, Dalton has accounted for 300 yards passing and or multiple touchdowns five times. I believe the Vikings are going to get way ahead in this game, and that's going to neutralize the running game, and they are going to pass a lot, and so volume could be on Dalton's side as well. Still only gets a C grade here. Tyler Kroft is on the bench. Over the last five games, he's averaging one catch and 28 yards per game. That's it. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he kills you, and the Vikings haven't allowed a tight end to score a touchdown in eight straight weeks. Let's go to the running game. Still waiting for final word on whether or not Joe Mixon's going to clear the protocol or not, and or if that means what that would mean for Gio Bernard. But He's still going to face a Vikings defense that ranks second against the run. They've held backs to just 3.7 yards per carry this year. And prior to Jonathan Stewart's inexplicable three-touchdown explosion last week, they'd only given up three rushing touchdowns all year. So I don't particularly like Joe Mixon, even if he does go. If Gio Bernard, if he doesn't go, then I like Bernard more because he'll get all the work, but still not enough to get him out of a C grade here. Let's go to the Viking side. I love Adam Thielen in this matchup. So let's just talk broadly. Here's your Bengals secondary is ravaged with injury. They just put Adam Jones on IR. They're going to be without Drake Kirkpatrick. Safety Sean Williams may not go. We don't think Darquise Dennard, their number three cornerback, is going to go. It's backups everywhere. Inside linebacker Vontaze Burfict is not going to go in this game. It's a disaster on defense. Even Sad Trombonski threw for 270 yards on this defense last
week. Dad, you've been waiting to use that button.
It's so good. Case Keenum sitting on potentially a very big game here. I've upgraded Case all the way up to an A start. Adam Thielen will go up against depth cornerback Kayvare Russell. Something called Kayvare Russell.
He's no Tease Tabor.
Last week, nondescript Bears slot receiver Kendall Wright put up 10 catches for 107 yards on Kayvare Russell. I love Adam Thielen in this game. Stephon Diggs, a B grade for him. In the last six games, and he's only averaging four catches and 50 yards. But again, against this injury-ravaged secondary, I think this is a great opportunity. So we'll start Stephon Diggs with a B grade as well. And the only other member of the passing game I want to talk about is Kyle Rudolph, who in the last few minutes has been upgraded. You rarely see this, the Saturday upgrade from doubtful to questionable. But I don't like him here. He's got the bad foot, and I'm worried that they're only going to use him as a blocker in this game, that the mobility won't be there.
They might not need him.
And Cincinnati has allowed just three tight end touchdowns all year and just one in the last 6 weeks. So I don't like Kyle Rudolph, and we'll keep him on the bench. Latavius Murray has got a great opportunity. As I mentioned before, inside linebacker Vontaze Burfict is out. We just saw the Bears run Jordan Howard through this defense. I like the straight-ahead power running that we're going to get from Latavius Murray. He gets a B grade here. And then Jerick McKinnon gets a C grade as well. Utility backs have done well against the Bengals. We saw with Tariq Cohen last week. He managed to get to roughly 100 yards, and other recent examples include Duke Johnson, who put up almost 70 yards. Marlon Back put up 63 in a score. Devontae Booker, 98 total yards. Utility backs like McKinnon also getting it done. Next, Patriots taking on the Steelers in game of the week for sure, Brian. Obviously, Patriots
just fly through it. It's the game of the week.
All right, go. I mean, I don't need to set you up.
Brady, Gronk, their numbers against Pittsburgh are ridiculous. And yes, expected shootout, you're obviously starting them. Brandon Cooks, not so obvious, though. I'm not so sure how many Brandon Cooks owners survived last week in advance in their match.
Yeah, yikes.
But, only three catches for 55 yards over his last two games. Cooks usually lines up on the left side of the field. That puts him on Artie Burns, who is a very solid corner. So I just got a C on Cooks. I'll put a C on Chris Hogan, too. Played a hearty 55 snaps last week, but just one catch for 1 yard on five targets. Pittsburgh has given up 8 touchdowns to wide receivers over the last 5 weeks. They do get Joe Hayden back, though, so that dings Hogan's prospects a little bit, but I think he's startable here. Should be much better off than last week. I am putting Danny Amendola on the bench, though. Pittsburgh slot corner Mike Hilton hasn't allowed a touchdown all season, and opposing quarterbacks have a 60.7 rating when throwing into his coverage. So he is on the bench. And then for the running backs, I'll give a B to Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead. Pittsburgh is middle of the pack against the run. They really miss Ryan Shazier, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Lewis averaging more than 6 yards per carry over the last 4 weeks, but hasn't topped 15 carries all season. Burkhead has, let's see, over the last two games, 5 red zone carries, 3 inside the 10, while Deion Lewis has just 2 red zone carries, 0 from inside the 10.
Yep.
I like Burkhead a little more. He's the goal line guy, but B's for both of those guys. Over to Pittsburgh, let's give some A's to Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. No need to go any further into that.
Nope.
Juju Smith-Schuster, I have a C here. He's looking to be truly questionable.
Game-time decision.
Oh, with the hamstring. That makes me nervous because we all know Bill Belichick likes to focus on one guy, right?
Well,
it's certainly not going to be Juju Smith-Schuster.
No, that's true.
It was going to be Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. Who knows? But so I liked Juju, and I even liked Martavis Bryant. I like Bryant a whole lot more if Juju's out. If
Agreed.
He's a guy available, go grab him right now. He could usurp a starter on your team, I think. So I'll give both of those guys a C, but monitor Juju very closely. And then Big Ben at home, auto A.
Automatic A for Ben at home. November, December games over the last 3 years. He's like 360 yards and 3 touchdowns per game. Let's take a break. When we come back, our final set of matchups, including Titans versus 49ers. Can you start Marcus Mariota down the stretch? Find out when we come back.
You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan.
Final segment of the semifinal edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Cherici, Brian Johnson, Matt Harrison with you. Let's dive into our final set of matchups so we can get to the phones. Titans take on the 49ers. Matt, it's even a game against the 49ers, it's hard to drum up a lot of excitement for my Titans players.
Yeah, it's a good matchup for Marcus Mariota, but I'm still only giving him a C grade. The Niners have allowed multiple touchdown passes in 7 of their last 8, including 2 to TJ Yates in a relief effort last week. But Mariota's still dealing with a knee injury, and he's thrown 1 or 0 touchdown passes in 10 games this season.
Now, how many times have we gone like, hey, nice matchup for Mariota? Nothing.
Yeah. You're banking on a rushing score, which he has had 2 in the last 4 weeks, and San Francisco has allowed running quarterbacks to score. Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, and Kirk Cousins all scored on the ground against the 49ers.
This is starting to sound more like a B grade
It's a C grade, because normally I'd bench him if there wasn't the rushing angle.
All right.
Delanie Walker, the long-awaited Delanie Walker revenge game. Walker has had at least 5 catches in 6 of his last 7 games and scored in 2 of his last 3. He gets the C grade. The Niners have allowed 6 tight end touchdowns in the last 7 games, but he's the only one in the passing game that's startable, besides Mariota, of course. Rishard Matthews and Corey Davis both on the bench. Matthews is still dealing with a hamstring injury, only had 19 yards on 5 targets last week. Davis has only topped 50 yards once this season. That was in week 1. Then there's DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, who are both desperation C plays. Murray hopped back into the lead role last week, 13-8 touch totals over Henry. Since the week 8 bye, neither player has topped 14 rushing attempts in the game, so you're hoping for a touchdown.
Yeah.
In the 6 games since the bye week, each of them has 3. The Niners spent the early part of the season getting burned by running backs, but they've not allowed a running back score of any kind in the last 5 games.
Hmm.
So they're just desperation C plays. Over on the San Francisco side, Carlos Hyde's getting a B. Run-stuffing DN DeQuan Jones will be out this week, much like he was last week when Kerwin Williams, Elijah Penny, and DJ Foster combined for 136 total yards. And Hyde's coming off 78 yards and a score last week in Houston, a game where he averaged 5.6 yards per carry. Garoppolo's starting to open up a few lanes for Carlos Hyde. Marquise Goodwin's the other guy that you want to start on San Francisco. He gets a B grade. I'm not buying the Titans' recent success against wide receivers, as in no wide receiver touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, but they faced Jacoby Brissett, Tom Savage, and Blaine Gabbert over that span. And if you consider Jimmy Garoppolo a good quarterback like I do, you'll see Goodwin put up numbers similar to those that the other wide receivers with good quarterbacks have. He probably won't hit Antonio Brown's 144 and 3.
No. But he's averaging 95 per game under Garoppolo.
Yeah, Brandon LaFell had 95 and a touchdown 3 weeks ago, and A.J. Green had 115 and 1. Macklin had 98 yards in week 9. So Garoppolo's a good play for him. 28% of his throws have gone to Goodwin this year. And of course, Garoppolo was your take a chance on me quarterback.
Why, yes, he was. Cowboys take on the Raiders. Alfred Morris sitting on a potentially big game here. He starting running backs have topped 100 yards and or scored a touchdown in 9 of the past 10 against Oakland.
9 times. We don't have to do it. We got time. We got to
keep going here. Dallas offense has gotten back on track the last 2 weeks, averaging 34 points, and Morris has had a big role of that, averaging 25 touches and 106 total yards over the last 2 weeks. Love him this week. Let's go to the passing game. Well, let me touch on Rod Smith while we're talking about running backs. I've got a C grade on him. Not only have the Raiders allowed opposing runners to give up 100 yards or score 9 of the last 10, as I mentioned, they're also giving up a bunch of receptions as well. 6 most receptions, 3rd most touchdown catches to running backs. That's a lot of the Rod Smith game. C grade here, he is startable. Then let's go to the passing game. Dak Prescott gets a B on paper. The Raiders secondary looks improved of late, but they face the lackluster passing stylings of Alex Smith and Geno Smith and Trevor Siemian the last 3 weeks. And
everybody else named Smith.
Prior to that, the Raiders are getting assaulted by almost every quarterback they faced, and Prescott's got his offensive line back and healthy again. I like him here. He gets a B grade. Dez Bryant, And I want to say this is going to be a breakout game for Dez Bryant, a receiver who has not topped 100 yards all year, and maybe it will happen, but the matchup is really more close to like a neutral matchup. He runs over half of his routes from the left side of the field, where he will be covered by Oakland's Dexter McDonald, who ranks 51st in coverage grades by Pro Football Focus. The Raiders' secondary has struggled with speedy wideouts, not physical wideouts, and Dez Bryant is not a speedy wideout. He's a physical wideout. So I'm just a B grade on Dez Bryant here. Jason Witten gets a B grade. He's caught a touchdown in two straight games. And he faces a Raiders defense that surrendered the second most receptions and fourth most yards to opposing tight ends. So we should see an uptick in volume, which has been hurting Witten lately in this game. Let's go to the Oakland side. Derek Carr. I mean, what a monumental egg did he lay on fantasy owners last week.
Yikes.
In what should have been an awesome matchup. I loved Carr. I had him ranked as my number two quarterback against a horrible Kansas City secondary, and he did nothing. One touchdown pass. So I'm A, sorry, and B, he should be more sorry than I am. It's understandable if you just don't want to start him again here. Dallas isn't a great secondary. They've allowed touchdowns to every opposing quarterback this year. They've allowed multiple touchdowns to five of the past six. Plenty of upside here for Carr, but we thought that last week as well. B grade on Carr. Michael Crabtree, kind of like him here. Dallas has allowed the most touchdowns to wide receivers, and Amari Cooper is out. All six of Crabtree's touchdowns have come at home. Derek Carr continues to look his way, giving him double-digit targets in three of the last four full games for Crabtree. So, I like Crabtree. B, I almost gave him an A grade for this one. Jared Cook gets a B grade. Dallas has allowed four scores to tight ends in its last six games. Cook broke a three-game skid last week and has seen at least five targets in every game, so I kind of like him here. And then lastly, Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. He has been terrific since returning from suspension, five touchdowns in five games. This is a Dallas run defense that's been good lately. They've held backs to 83 yards per game on just 3.4 yards per carry the last 3 weeks, but they've struggled against power runners. Obviously, that's Lynch. C.J. Anderson, Todd Gurley, Jay Ajayi, all top 91 yards and average 6 yards per carry against Dallas. So we will try. We'll give a B grade to Marshawn Lynch in this game. Final matchup. It's the Monday nighter. Falcons versus the Bucs. The Buccaneer defense will be without star linebacker Lavonte David. Maybe one of the best defensive tackles in the game. Gerald McCoy is out. Their slot cornerback Vernon Hargreaves out. I think the Falcons are going to kill them.
Yeah, you're probably right. Julio Jones, A, 253-2 just 3 weeks ago. That might be his floor in this match. he's in, obviously, hey, Muhammad's new. I had a B. He's a borderline A now.
He's my number. He's my number 15 wide receiver.
I'm still going to say with B just because I don't know.
I love Sanu, too.
I do, too. Yeah, you're starting him out. Has scored in four of his last seven games. He had 8 catches for 64 yards in the first meeting, so he's an easy start. Austin Hooper I have on the bench despite all the injuries. 3 catches for 38 yards in the first meeting. The Bucs have yielded the third fewest targets to tight ends and have allowed just 3 touchdowns to the position. They are missing some key pieces that you just mentioned, but I'm still benching Hooper. Not benching Matt Ryan, obvious A as well, as is Devontae Freeman. I don't even need to go into this, right? You're sorry, Devontae Freeman.
Yes.
Tevin Coleman.
He's my number 2 running back this week.
Tevin Coleman.
I love Freeman.
Is a little tricky, still in concussion protocol. If you are relying on him in deeper leagues, you might want to go grab Teron Ward in the event Coleman sits, but I got him on the... I'll give him a...
You might want to grab Peyton Barber in that case.
Actually, that might be a good play, too.
Yeah,
I like that even better.
The Bucks will have to throw all day long in this game.
Probably.
But anyway, Tevin Coleman, I'll give him a C if he clears protocol, but that's very dicey.
Didn't even practice on Friday, and usually you practice before you clear the protocol, so I'd say Tevin Coleman's like a 10% chance of going in this one.
Yeah, not looking good. You can pretty much expect him to be on the bench. Over to the Bucks. I'm not benching Mike Evans. I'm going to give him a C. It stands for come on, man. 12 targets, though, in the first meeting. Caught 6 for 78 yards. That was with Stu Beard. He does Winston in this game. Evans has scored in all 3 of his prior meetings with Atlanta, totaling 4 touchdowns, so he has good history against his division rival. I'm still rolling the dice on Evans this week. DeSean Jackson I do have on the bench. Atlanta is allowing the 5th fewest yards to receivers. Jackson had 8 catches for 60 yards on 11 targets in the first meeting.
That's a lot.
Stat line you'd never see from DeSean Jackson. It's very Jarvis Landry of him, but I got him on the bench here. I just can't trust D-Jax. He's way too boom or bust, especially in week 15. Stay away from the tight ends. They combined for just 4 catches when these teams first met. So Brayton Howard are on the bench. And I'll give Winston a I was tempted to give him a B just because I think the game script is really going to favor him. Going to give him a C. I missed the first meeting, but he does have at least 270 yards and two touchdowns in his last two games. Atlanta has allowed the eighth fewest passing yards this year, but I think Winston will have to throw a lot in this one, so I'll give him the C. And Peyton Barber, what is your take a chance on me running back?
He is my take a chance on me running back. Time for lightning round. You know the drill. One question between two players, and we are going to power through calls between now and the top of the hour. Let's see. I believe we left off on Will, who's been on hold for the better part of the entire show. Hi, Will.
Hey, George. Rivers or Rodgers?
Okay.
Week?
Rivers or Rodgers?
Yikes. There it is. Yeah. I'm sticking with Rivers. Play the hot hand. We don't know what Rodgers is yet.
Ben, you're next.
Guys, again, love you.
Thank you.
This is really bad. Nick Foles or any one of your preferred take-a-chance-me quarterbacks, specific.
Without Landon and Collins, the Eagles should score 60
Bortles.
Points in this game. No way. You're nuts.
Bortles. No.
Foles. All day.
I've got Bortles higher than Foles, but I like
yes.
Foles a lot. I do. Ben, thank you for your weekly contributions. Tony, you are next.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the two number one seeds. I have a PPR, Collins, or Lynch?
I like them both. Collins is red hot. I don't think I can go away from Alex Collins at this point.
I think that's correct.
I think we're going to stick with Alex Collins. Wade, you're next.
Okay, guys, I'm at Target, so if you put me in hold, I'm not going to hear your answer, so I'll make it quick. Collins or Kareem Hunt?
I'm going to stick with Collins as well. We don't know that Kareem Hunt will get the workload in any given Sunday.
I've got Collins way up at number 7 at the running back position. Greg, you're next.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Standard League.
Rodgers for me.
Yep, I got Rodgers higher as well. I know Matt doesn't. Matt thinks this is going to be a very pass-oriented game, but
they're going to score 45 points. So I think Brees is
going to go around.
Yeah, there's going to be enough.
James, you're next.
Foles or Goff?
I'd actually go with Foles.
I agree.
Yeah. John, you're next.
Yeah, half point PPR, bonus points for long distance touchdowns. Tyrell Williams or Jesse James?
All right.
Oh, the bonus points for long touchdowns goes to Tyrell.
Yeah, for sure. One of my favorite sneaky sleepers this week. Jason, you're next.
Hyde or Ajayi?
Ooh, I'll go Ajayi. They match up much better.
I love Ajayi this week. Matt, you're next.
Hey, guys, half-point PPR. I know you're not going to like this question. Nelson or A.J. Green?
J.J. Nelson?
I think Jordy Nelson.
Oh, Jordy Nelson or A.J. Green. Sorry.
Yep.
I'd still play Green.
Yeah.
I'm more cautious on Jordy. I like Aaron a lot. I'm more cautious on Jordy than other people are. Ryan, you're next.
Yeah, hi. 6 points. Passing touchdowns, Roethlisberger or Rivers?
Both inside my top 5 this week.
That's 1-2 for me.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna go Roethlisberger at home against the Patriots.
I would too.
It's gonna be a fun game to watch. You get to watch that one on TV too.
DJ, so. You're next.
0 point PPR, Mike Davis or Kerwin Williams?
Davis or Williams?
Oh man, I like both. I'm going to go Kerwin because Davis is a little dinged up, is he not?
He has a rib injury, but he's going to be in the flak jacket ready to go.
I'm going Williams in the even meatier matchup.
Mike, you're next.
Rivers or Breeze?
Rivers. Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Matt's on kind of an island on this whole Breeze
Matt's
thing
wrong.
A little bit.
The Chargers made the same choice.
Yeah,
the Jets aren't going to score.
Jeffrey, you're next.
Derrick Henry or McCaffrey?
McCaffrey, not close.
Jason, you're on the fan.
Garoppolo or Goff, get his point.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, we're on Garoppolo this week. Brad, you're next.
You got Drew Brees.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you do.
It was Rodgers. It was Brees or Rodgers.
I don't know who it was. I can't tell.
We already did Brees or Rodgers.
Joe, you're on.
Hey, I tweeted this to you too, Paul. I need two receivers and a flex.
Wow. It's one question between two guys.
If you tweeted it, we'll get it on Twitter.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
All right. Tim, you're on the fan. Nope, Tim left. Okay.
Bye, Tim.
Mark, you're on the fan.
Robert Woods at Seattle or Chris Hogan at Pittsburgh?
I'm going to give Chris Hogan the nod here.
Higher ceiling.
Yep.
Joe, you're on the fan.
Non-PPR, Christian McCaffrey, Alex Collins.
Collins.
Non-PPR, Collins. Yes. Mm-hmm. If it were PPR, I would give you the McCaffrey answer.
Yes.
Adam, you are on.
Standard scoring, no PPR, Ajayi or McCaffrey?
Ajayi.
Same scenario.
Russ, you're on the fan.
Hey, Case Keenum or Matthew Stafford? Thanks.
Keenum. Keenum has bonkers, bonkers upside.
Yep.
Right? Against that battered Bengals secondary. I'm actually a little bit worried the Vikings might just run their way to victory.
Oh, no.
Game. Ben, every time I feel like this
like
with the Vikings.
Saints will.
Yeah, that's right. Ben, you're on the fan.
Jordy Nelson, Mike Evans.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I had both.
I'm leaning Mike Evans, but I'm going to do Mike Evans.
You guys just hate the Packers, but
well, that's
I don't like him either. But
we set aside our natural, God-given right to hate the Packers.
No, yeah, we do.
Bob, you're next.
18 quarterback heavy Cousins or Stafford?
Oh,
I've got Cousins higher.
I like Joe Flacco better than both of those guys, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
I got Cousins. I'd lean to Cousins, too.
Yeah, you could hit the waiver wire and get Nick Foles, and I would start Nick Foles over either of those guys.
Bortles.
Or Bortles. Will, you're our last caller today.
Half point reception, half point first down. Mike Evans or Marquise Goodwin?
Goodwin. We like Goodwin a lot.
Although Mike Evans did lead all wide receivers last season in first down receptions.
Yeah, how about that? I would like to replay last season with Mike Evans when he was wide receiver 5 instead of wide receiver 20 like he is right now. Yeah, I like Goodwin a lot in this game. Best of luck, everybody. Semifinals.
Hey, it's my last show of the year. Thanks for the opportunity again, Church.
And thanks for all your work going into the season. Appreciate it, Matt. If you missed any part of the show, podcast, KFAN, Fan on Demand, and on iTunes. Talk to you next week for the championship game. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly on The Fan.